Good afternoon and welcome to Results Matter Radio. I am Erin Mazaros, Chief Marketing Officer and Director of Client Service for the law firm of Byrne Forman, and I will be your host for today's segment, along with my co-host Lee Cantor, who is the CEO of Atlanta Business Radio X. If you are new to Results Matter Radio, welcome to our show. The show is developed to bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Before we jump into today's show, let me welcome our guests and my co-host, Lee. Hey, Lee.
Hey, how you doing, Erin?
I'm doing well. How about you?
You look all chipper.
I look better than last time, I think.
You were a little bit of, you were in a, what was that?
I was a little under the weather.
You were doing girl fighting?
I was, yes. The last show I was a little under the weather. But
we're going to call it under the weather?
Under the weather. We're going to say that, under the weather.
All right.
So, you know, we have a great show today, Lee.
Who do we have?
We are pleased to have Knox Massey and Ed Brown, who are joining us today for part one of a three-part series regarding the Atlanta Technology Angels organization. Have you heard of ATA?
No, I have not.
I had not either until I met these guys. So it's a very interesting organization. The Atlanta Technology Angels is an organization comprised of active and accredited angel investors who share the goal of making informed, collaborative, early-stage investments in promising Georgia-based companies. It's pretty exciting, and they've got a lot of great things going on. The show's going to be really good today, Lee, so I hope you are alert and ready to ask questions.
I'll have my A game.
All right, bring it. If you don't know much about ATA, as I said, you will by the end of this three-part series, so we're excited about that. Today, though, we are going to cover just a brief history of the organization, some recent success stories about the group, people who have come out of the group, and the newly passed tax credit law, which will benefit investors. So I think that's an important part of our discussion today. Knox Massey joins us, and he is with the ATA, serving on the board, and currently runs a family partnership.
Hello.
Hello, Knox. Ed Brown is also a corporate partner in the Atlanta office of the law firm of Byrne Forman, and he joins us today in providing a variety of corporate services to the firm's clients. Hello, Ed.
Erin, Lee, great to be here.
Glad to have you. Well, welcome, gentlemen, as I said, and thank you for joining us. Let's just dive in. So my first question is, Knox.
Yes.
I'd like a brief background on just angel investing altogether and then the history of the ATA for our listeners. Can you give us a scoop?
A brief background. All right. Well, I'll try that. So angel investing probably got fairly popular about 20 years ago, maybe in the early to mid-90s. And it was a lot of sort of individuals in various states who would find young companies that they wanted to help support, find young entrepreneurs they wanted to help support, and would operate very independently. And as the sort of dot-com boom started sort of 96, 97, you saw a lot of these groups starting to, or a lot of these individuals starting to form small groups. And that became much more popular, say, in 97, 98. And then you saw a sort of boom in that sort of investment asset class.
Now, were they competing, if they were forming those small groups, were they competing against each other? Is that one of the reasons? No?
No, you would really find the angel groups in different markets. So you'd find a lot in, say, Raleigh or the Triad up in North Carolina. You started to find some in Georgia. You started to see some in Florida. And then as time has gone by over the last 10 or 15 years, you're starting to see angel groups sort of appear throughout the region. And even, and we can talk a little bit more about this, but you now see them much more in the Northeast and even on the West Coast, which they've really been out on the West Coast about 20 years.
Okay.
But how are angels different than like venture capital? Are they, is it a subset of that?
So venture capital is really committed money from institutions, universities, pension funds, and other large institutions, and they'll allocate a certain amount of capital to the venture funds. And the private investors, the angel investors, and angel investing is really a media term, sort of coined, I don't know, 10 years ago, but it's become very popular, so we just refer to it as angel investing. And it's individual money that generally the person has made throughout their career, and they'll invest private money. So it's institution money versus private money.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a lot of what you saw in those years. It grew organically from the bottom up.
Right.
We had, as the markets became more mature, particularly the technology came along, and you started having a much faster turnover of businesses. Mm-hmm. People started buying and selling businesses much more than in the 60s and 70s. Family businesses would be there for a long time. And as a lot of these people were able to sell and be able to monetize their wealth, they were looking for things to do, and most of them were entrepreneurs, and they looked to other entrepreneurs. So it started, as Knox said, on a very private basis, individuals looking for some place to put money.
So angel investing could be any industry or could be any...
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of people, when they hear about angel investing, they think about technology. Technology is very high growth. So, of course, when you're investing your money, you want to make money.
And quickly.
You'd like to, right? and if you invest in a high growth company, hopefully you're going to get a quicker exit. Now, in the .com, you saw very quick exits. So you saw a lot of growth during that period.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of the people that became angels came out of .com. I think that's why the technology, they tend to invest in what they know. But, you know, to be honest, we've seen angels for a long time in certain roles, and we called it friends and family rounds of
investing.
Exactly
right.
Any early stage investment to help a business get off the ground is, I guess, would qualify as an angel.
Yeah, the old term is friends and family. Yeah,
right.
And then angel investing was coined, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
So are there, now I'm curious, are there other groups that say if you wanted to start a business that are not involved just around technology that have been formed like this that are called some type of, say, manufacturing angels group or marketing angels group or no?
In Atlanta?
Yeah.
There's a couple of groups out there that will look at various industries that are not always technology. So they may look at franchises. They may look at retail. They may look at banking.
Okay.
But now... some of them will look at the broader industries as a whole. ATA, Atlanta Technology Angels, tends to focus on technology, but a broad segment of that technology market.
Right. But at the same time, I have a client that invests in a wide variety of businesses individually. He'll put $50,000 to $100,000 into a business, maybe as a loan, maybe as equity,
right.
But almost never technology, but he's not a technology person.
Mm.
He invests in what he knows. He invests in companies. He has a company that sells things on eBay, that you know buys bulk and resells. So it can be anything.
Okay, great.
Can anybody be an angel, or is there a certain criteria?
Money.
You just have to have money,
right? You have to.
Free and clear money, I think. Free and clear.
Yes. There's a term called accredited investor, and that's an SEC designation. And most groups like you, most formal groups like an individual to be an accredited investor, because that really says to the SEC and says to others that you understand the risk. And
right.
A lot of these companies are
because this is
very
speculative,
high risk.
Right? This is
right.
A speculative investment.
Well,
you
a
hope
high
not.
Risk. High risk.
Yeah.
Right.
You hope they've done some due diligence, or
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, talk to us about ATA and your involvement with them. Why ATA? Why did you get involved with ATA?
So in the late 90s, I was at America Online and was exposed to a lot of technology companies here in Atlanta. And I left ATA in 1999 and started, and I'd heard about angel investing and of course, been exposed to venture capital investing during that time. And so got out of AOL, was looking around for my sort of next opportunity, went back to business school and met some folks that were involved in angel investing. And introduced me to some of the guys within Atlanta Technology Angels. And that was roughly 2000, 2001.
Okay.
That's when I got involved.
Okay.
And then I came in as a member and then was asked to jump on board as the sort of managing director in 2002.
Okay. And how long did you do that?
7 years, 2002 to 2009.
Great.
How many members are there?
Currently, I was just looking at the numbers. We have right at 45 individual members, and Mike Eckert, who's the current managing director, will talk more about this, I think, a little bit later. 45 individuals, roughly 10 institutional investors or members, and about 6 or 8 sponsors. I'm not quite sure of that number. So 55, 60, roughly.
So now that we've kind of given a background about it, let's talk a little bit of detail for the folks who are listening. What are the various funding options that are available? You know, how do people, is there a set criteria? What are they looking, and what's an option for them?
So, I mean, I can answer that in different ways, but generally when a young company approaches a group like ATA, they'll seek a certain amount of capital. Let's just make up a number, $100,000. And there's certain ways that can be put into the company. It can be common stock, it can be preferred stock, or could be some sort of debt instrument. A lot of times they use something called convertible debt, which is debt initially and then converted into equity later. So that's sort of the structure of the investment, if that's what you meant.
Yeah, and as the entrepreneur, do you pick what you would prefer and then hope that one of your investors, or do you wait and see what the investor, how they want to put their money in to support you?
It could go either way. It depends on the group.
Okay.
A lot of times it depends on the market itself. So if the market in one geographic region is doing more preferred stock, then most likely the entrepreneur and the investor are going to agree on preferred stock. And you have to remember, this is should be a partnership, so both parties should agree on what is best for both the entrepreneur and the company, and the investor, to, in a sense.
Okay, and how do they have someone that leads them through this process? How do they get involved? I mean, obviously, is there legal counsel that helps them with this? Is there a consultant of some kind? Is that part of the ATA's responsibility to help guide through that process?
There are processes, and I think Mike will probably talk a little bit more about that. He's set up some great new processes in the group. But for a general angel group, sometimes there are processes that can help the entrepreneur through that. We always encourage the entrepreneur to do their homework in terms of looking at the market, look what other companies have raised, how they've raised it, maybe talk to some lawyers, talk to some entrepreneurs that have already been funded by angels or venture capitals. So try to understand the market as they're starting to seek capital. And if you do that, and you and I always recommend to the entrepreneur to try to understand the investor they're talking to. Generally, these days, angel groups and angels who are fairly high profile, they're easy to find out information on through a website, through conversations with people in the community, and you can get enough information to understand what they may be seeking or what they may sort of want to work with you.
So, Ed, is that something that you help folks with?
Right. That, okay. That's what you'll do on that side of it, representing a company that's looking for it, is to try to guide them both for what their needs are and what the investor's needs are.
Okay.
You look at it as to, you know, what stage of funding, how much, and looking down the road a little bit, and obviously one thing that's important, and somebody like ATA helps them with, is understanding the long term, that this is probably not the first round of investment they're going to have. So what does the angel want? Is this an angel that would like to get in, wants to do basically some form of bridge financing to get them maybe for 2 years until they can get to that next stage? Or is it an investor that really is investing in the long term? And different angels will have different goals. And understanding what the goals are of your investors is important as understanding your own goals. And by doing that in groups like ATA, you can rely on them. These are people that have been through these wars before personally.
Right,
and
right.
They can very often help the investor, the company, think about those issues.
Yeah, and a lot of times the angels themselves are former entrepreneurs, and so they may have built up one or two companies and may have been funded, and so they understand the issues that a younger or less experienced entrepreneur is going through. So a lot of times they'll take the time and effort to help coach them through the process.
Okay,
you'll find that quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean that's yeah.
How does the ATA find these companies to invest in?
We work really hard. No. The group has been around since roughly 98, and so we know a lot of folks in the community, and we get out and we talk, and we try to talk up the group, and so some come to us and some we find. We have some really great relationships with Georgia Tech, the Advanced Technology Development Center, GRA, Georgia Research Alliance, Emory. So we work with all the institutions and venture capitalists, et cetera, in the community.
Well, back on the entrepreneurs, before we move to the tax credit, because I know a lot of our listeners out there who are interested in investing are going to be very interested in that tax credit, that bill that's been passed recently.
Okay.
But before we get to that, on the entrepreneur side, can you give us some success stories or people that you're able to talk about that might help some of these that are, you know, individuals that are out there that are thinking about, wow, that could be me, to help it resonate a little bit that they need to be looking at the ATA or that they have these opportunities?
So a good success story or exit story, people always like to hear about exits. There was a company that came in, gosh, I have to go back and look at notes, but probably 2005, and it was called Invertis, and had an entrepreneur who had been at, if I remember correctly, at Microsoft, but it was starting up a company, the first time he really started up a young company. And he came into the group, presented to the group, met another person he sort of knew when he was at Microsoft, and that Microsoft person really sat down and helped him with building that company over the first few months, ended up investing in the company. The Microsoft person within ATA brought in three other investors, and they worked really hard with this company, defining the market, defining the product. And then after about 8 months, they had an offer for an acquisition, probably 10 or 15 times the money they put in, and they worked with the entrepreneur through the acquisition and eventually sold the company successfully.
And what was the product?
It was a technology product, sort of virtual machine, early virtual machine product.
And for those of us that don't understand that, what does that mean?
We'd have to pull in the Microsoft
guy. Oh, okay.
Now, was that a person who had worked for Microsoft, or was that actually Microsoft?
They bought the company?
Right.
No, it was not. No, these two, the entrepreneur and the angel, had both worked for Microsoft previously.
Right.
And they knew the technology and understood the technology and understood the market, and they understood how to build it and then how to market it and sell it.
Now, is that one of the values for using the ATA? Is that when an angel that's been there and done that might have kind of this information and knowledge base?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you want to find, I mean, of course, it's the money, right?
You,
as an entrepreneur, you want to come in. If you're raising money, you want to get money from an angel group. But also, I always encourage the entrepreneurs coming in to try and find someone who has market knowledge or industry knowledge of the product or service they're building, because generally that person within the angel group is going to have more experience on a general basis and can help them with the young company.
And that fast forwards their growth dramatically, right?
Absolutely.
No question. Yeah. I mean, the one of the larger benefits of an investor, whether it's an angel investor, venture capital at any point, particularly at early stages, is to find somebody that's not only going to provide you with money, but experience. I mean,
right,
to a certain extent. And it's tough for a lot of entrepreneurs. I mean,
they're
out there going,
and
it's like they're not sure they want to have somebody tell them that maybe that's not the best idea.
Some do, some don't. Yeah,
that's right. Some take it better than others. But if you can do that, it certainly exponentially increases the value of the angel investment.
There are different kinds of investors, and there are different kinds of entrepreneurs. Some investors just want to write a check, and hopefully the company does well. Some investors really want to get involved, and it's just like the entrepreneurs. Some entrepreneurs want the help. Some who may have started a company or two may not want as much as they did before.
Right.
So it just depends.
So some entrepreneurs just want the money, and then some want the consulting
guidance
as well.
Right. So there's usually not an exact balance, but there's usually a balance in there somewhere.
Well, talk to us about the tax credit bill and your involvement with that. I know you were instrumental in getting that passed, I believe, and I know it's taken you a while, a year or two, to get that through. But talk to us about the process and talk to us about the benefits and the criteria and what people need to know.
Sure. So it was actually called Georgia House Bill 1069 and passed in the legislative session in 2010. And we'd been working on it for, gosh, probably 3 years. But it was passed in 2010, went into law January 1st, 2011. The process of getting that done was interesting and probably takes longer than we have today. But how I found out about the tax credits is when I came on as executive director in 2002, not many people paid attention to angel investors or angel groups. It was more so about venture capitalists, and the angel groups just didn't invest.
Not many people in the legislature?
Just in general. Okay. Angel groups weren't as well known back in the sort of turn of the century, turn of the decade. And so I came on board at ATA in 2002, and first thing I did is I started reaching out to other states and trying to find other angel groups. And one of the more successful states that had a lot of angel groups was North Carolina. And so I took a trip up there and visited with three or four different angel groups, and I found out about this funny little thing called a tax credit, and I had no idea what it was. And so I did a little bit more digging, and I actually found the lawyer who wrote the initial bill, which I believe passed 20-something years ago in North Carolina. And what they did is they kept tweaking it for the first 5 or 6 years in North Carolina. And after about the 5th or 6th year, and this is roughly mid-90s, it was used exclusively for angel groups in North Carolina. So you had to raise,
regardless of industry, just angel groups.
It was an angel group, and you had to raise $5 million to get the tax credits. And only the fund itself could get the tax credit, and then the credits were flowed through to the individuals. So what was interesting, because I couldn't figure out in North Carolina why they had about three or four different $5 million angel funds, which was kind of unusual at the time. And the reason was because of the tax credit.
Because of the criteria.
A little bell went off, and I said, ding, this really built the angel community in North Carolina. And so I came back and started doing some more research in the state of Georgia and finding out about other states. And about that time, I joined or helped build something called the Angel Capital Association. And it's now a very large trade association based out of Kansas City, funded by the Kauffman Foundation. And I helped them roughly 2004, 2005 build a list of about 15, I think it was about 15 states at the time that had tax credit programs in all different shapes and sizes. And based on that, I took that information and started crafting, you know, I said, look, there's 15 or 16 other states that have this. Why can't Georgia have it? And I started crafting my own little tax credit. I didn't know enough. I just started writing. And I actually wrote the bill and had it in 2007. And me and two other guys, a guy named Dan Pompilio, found a legislator, Chuck Martin here, House Rep Chuck Martin, and he was kind enough to drop the bill for us. And, long story shorter, we didn't really know what we were doing. But we, cheered when we got it dropped in the House. We thought that was a big accomplishment, which it was in a sense. But we really needed to understand the process there much more. And so over the ensuing years, we learned more. We got more people, more resources. And in 2010, we went in with a stronger plan, stronger message, and got it passed.
Great. And what does it do for our investors?
So if you're an investor, early stage investor, and you invest in a qualified company, and I can talk about that, you get a 35% tax credit against your state income tax. So you can invest roughly up to $150,000 a year to get roughly a $50,000 credit each year.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, it's not at all. And you got to remember, some accredited investors may have a very large state income tax liability, so they can offset that,
right?
Especially if they have investments in other places. And so what we want to do is do two things. We wanted to encourage investment in this sort of asset class, well, more than two things. We wanted to also start establishing a public-private partnership between the state and the private industry, and we wanted to give an incentive to both the investors and the companies to sort of work together. So you get a 35% tax credit, $50,000 cap. And I can talk a little bit more about the program. Any specific questions? I mean, there's a lot more.
Right. No. Yeah. That, I think that's the general of what we wanted to get across to everybody is what the level of investment might be and how much they might get out of it. But that, where can they go to find more information and to apply?
Right. So that's a little bit more difficult, and I'll try to explain it.
Knox Massey at
angelatlanta.com.
At legislative
so
forum.
The first step is a company has to be qualified, and they have to have certain criteria. And they can go to the Department of Revenue and look for, under tax credits, I think it's form ITQBR. So if they can just Google form ITQBR, and what that does, it gives them a form that they fill out. They make sure they meet the criteria, and that should be on that form. And they send that in to the Department of Revenue, and they become a qualified company. And it's meant for very early stage companies, less than 20 employees, has raised no more than $1 million, has revenue of $500,000 or less, and is less than 3 years old. So it was really geared towards early stage companies. So once they fill out the form, they send it in to the Department of Revenue. The Department of Revenue generally will turn it around fairly quickly and send it back to the company. They are now qualified, and then the investors can invest in the company. The program.
Oh, so wait a minute. Let me make sure I understand that then. So the company you're going to invest in has to be qualified before.
Right.
So that's not these entrepreneurs at ATA that you're investing.
So no, that's the company itself.
Yeah, it would be the company has to. So the entrepreneur would own the company. And the company
but
itself,
a lot of them we know are brand spanking. I guess that doesn't matter. Brand spanking new, as long as they have to be, or they don't qualify.
Yeah.
Well, under 3 years.
What we want to do is really make it geared towards early stage companies. We didn't want other institutions that invest later stage to come in and take advantage of it and suck it right up.
Gotcha.
Because they invest so much larger amounts of money.
Right.
So the company does have to qualify.
And that's important that the company actually do it early. And what we've seen already is some companies wait around until an investor shows up and says,
I should do this.
Exactly. Companies, early stage companies can be proactive and go ahead and file the form with
so
the state.
So that's a best
Department
practice
of Revenue. Absolutely.
For,
go
for
do
our
it.
Entrepreneurs.
Because
yeah.
they have to file it each year.
Okay.
Each year they have to file to show that the last year, and it's a little two-page form, and it actually tells you if you mark that, you won't qualify. So it walks you
oh.
through exactly, right. you know, if you can tell by doing this short form, but going ahead and doing it in advance.
But there's
makes
no
you that much
negative
more
tax ramification
no.
for that. So this is just
not for the company. No.
It just
right.
it just
no
qualifies you as a recipient of those
right.
dollars.
Okay. How long does it take to get qualified? Is it a short turnaround time or no?
Well, we know that so far this year, and the program is in effect in 2011, 2012, 2013, and it's $10 million in tax credits each year. We know so far that 40 companies have applied through the Department of Revenue. So, and generally it takes, my guess, it takes about a year or two to sort of get institutionalized within the community, and that's starting to happen.
So you should get on board now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because you may be that $10 million and one.
Well, yeah, that would be nice. That would be the program's success.
It means it's successful, yes.
Right, right.
Well, gentlemen, we are getting close to our time today, so it's been a tradition in our show that when we near the end of the discussion, I always make a last request. So, gentlemen, my last request for you would be, if you could offer one piece of advice, Knox, to our listeners, what would it be?
One piece of advice. If you're seeking capital from those that angel groups or VCs, remember it's a partnership and both sides should be happy with the results.
All right. Ed?
Keep your eyes and ears open.
Okay. Good. Good, good, good. As I said, we're about out of time for today, so I'd like to thank our guests, Knox Massey and Ed Brown, for joining us. We've had a great discussion. Should you have any questions for Knox or Ed, please visit www.resultsmatterradio.com to find their direct contact information. If you're listening to us through podcast or via Results Matter Radio, please remember to visit the site next week to hear segment 2 of our 3-part series, which will address how one goes about getting involved in ATA as an investor or an entrepreneur. Our special guests next week will be Mike Eckerd, former founder and CEO of the Weather Channel, and our returning guest, Burr Foreman partner Ed Brown. Thank you again to our guests and my co-host Lee. On behalf of Burr and Foreman, a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast, we'd like to remind you, if results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give us a call. You can visit our website to find the right attorney for you at www.burr.com. Thanks again, gentlemen. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Great.
Thanks very much.